Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Welcome back to Pop Star Talk. I'm Mary Jane Popp, along with my producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll. And we have another edition of Pop Star Talk with one of America's favorite moms, Marion Ross. Remember the iconic TV series Happy Days? Ken, did you watch Happy Days like most of America?
Oh, of course I did. Who could ever forget the Fonz?
Oh, yeah, I figured yeah, that's the character you would probably like best. But it was the Fonz and Richie. And
I happened to go to it was one of the governor balls when I think it was Duke Majan. I can't remember which one. But I ended up sitting at the table with the Fonz. It was kind of fun.
No kidding.
Yes.
But he was so different when he was interviewed, you know, like the regular person. And then the Fonz was so different from his character, his actual right. personality.
And it was kind of funny because at the head table was Jim Nabors, Gomer Pyle.
Yeah.
So Fonz was with us and I kept giving him a hard time that he didn't make the head table and Gomer Pyle did.
I love it. Hey, it's always fun to see these people when they're not in their character. And you say, they're so different. Now, I got to be honest with you. The guest that we have today, the way she was the character and off character when I interviewed her, no difference. Seriously. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, she was a mom.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to it. I'll tell you so you can see what I'm talking about. So let's get the firsthand story from Marion, Mrs. C, and what her experience was with all the Happy Days company.
My cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are gone.
Oh, those were the Happy Days when we watched that television series, and people are still watching it for that matter. But from appearing in nearly every major TV series of the 1950s and 60s to appearing in her first love stage on Broadway to becoming one of America's favorite television moms as Mrs. C, Mrs. Cunningham, on the iconic television series Happy Days, which essentially changed her life. Now, Marion Ross has some wonderful memories with loving recollections from the award-winning Happy Days, but her early days were also incredible. Being in the company of such luminaries as Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, Noel Coward, and now she shares all in her book called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. Marion, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off.
You're, Pop Off, you are really on the ball this morning.
Well,
you are cooking, baby. Know that.
Well, I try to, but you know what? I'm just such a fan of yours. Every time I've had Jim Meskimen and your son.
Yes, that's my son.
Yeah,
Jim Meskimen,
I've had him on 2 or 3 times on Pop Off, but every time I say, "How's your mom? How's your mom doing?" You know, and finally I get to talk with you directly.
No, he came over this morning and brought me a beautiful green drink. Every morning, he comes to my house
Aww.
And brings me this green drink that he mixes up at home.
You How know, cool.
So try to keep me going.
Well, listen, just talking to you, you've got so much energy, it's unbelievable. And would you be insulted if I asked how old you are?
Oh, no, I'm 91 and a half. 91 and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
I even cleaned that up for you, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
I'm 91 and a half, yeah.
But
In fact, I said that on some TV show, and I said it, I was so used to saying it, I said it so easily and so fast that they said, they didn't say anything. Then later I go to the restroom and a young girl comes out of the toilet. She says, "You said 91.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you know what? I am a fan. And you know, curiosity got the best of me. When you said in your book, Happy and Otherwise. What do you mean by otherwise?
Well, you know, I got divorced. I had the midlife crisis when I was 40. I was on such a move.
Yeah.
And then by the time I hit 40, it all came apart.
Aww.
I thought, I cannot believe this. But, you know, I had to rebuild it. So by 50, then that was when Happy Days came along.
Oh, my gosh.
And who knew that would be such a great thing? And my friendship with Henry and Ron and everybody is as hard and good as it ever was. It's just fabulous, you know?
That was your second family. Right?
What did you say?
It was your second family.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. My children would say, oh, my God, you and Happy Days. You have to think of it.
No. And you actually did have, I mean, you had a career that was incredible before that, too. You worked with some of the most memorable stars. Your first one was with Ginger Rogers and William Holden, for gosh sakes.
Oh, God, yes, right. Well, you know, I was under, by the time I was 23, I was under contract to Paramount. And at that point, they would hire stars, you know, they had a whole castle of young starlets. And it was... Everybody was on the lot in those days.
Mm-hmm.
All the big stars were there. I mean, if you went into the dining room, here's James Mason. Here's Phoebe DeMille having lunch over here. Here's the Zucker brothers running the studios. Here's, you know, everybody was in there, and it was really nerve-wracking.
Oh, I can imagine, especially for a young person.
Edith Head is up in the wardrobe and in the, you know, designing clothes for you, and when I lasted a year and I got dropped, phew. I gotta get out of here. I'm just not up to this. So then I went over to CBS, mm-hmm. because I was trained actress,
mm-hmm.
and I got on all. I did all these live shows at CBS, live theater. It was wonderful. So that was good for me. And I used to do accents all the time, and I did an Irish accent. I played an Irish maid for 3 years over there.
No kidding.
On Life with Father. Yes.
For heaven's sake. But you know what? You've done all these. You did all those series. I mean, you did a ton of them. It would take me the next 20 minutes just to name all the series that you did. But it was live. And you know what? It made it so special because you didn't have a second chance at it. It was either make it right or it was going to be wrong, but you had to deal with it.
Absolutely. In fact, Leon Ames, who was the president of SAG, Screen Actors Guild at that time, and a very famous actor. And half of his characterization was... I'm trying to think of what comes next.
Uh-huh.
But live theater was absolutely wonderful, nerve-wracking, you know?
Well, it's so funny because I remember my first show was not on radio, it was on television back 1974. And it was so funny because it was a live show. And I mean, we had sets falling in on us, lights blowing out, you know, you just kept going no matter what, you know.
I know, it made it kind of wonderful.
It was.
Yes.
It was. And it you learned a lot from that because no matter what would happen when they were taping, who cares? You know, why is them do it live?
No, I'm thinking of my peers. Betty White was, I mean, she went through the whole, every bit of the whole entertainment world. She was a part of that.
Yeah.
And she's now home, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting up with everybody.
I know. Oh, how are you handling all this? Isn't this crazy?
Well, thank God the time goes fast.
Yeah.
I get very little done. Here it is, so this is good. So, I don't know. We just have to, what can we do about this?
Not much. But you know what? We also have to have a good sense of humor. And it's not funny because, God forbid, I mean, people are dying. But if you don't have a sense of humor, you're not going to get through this.
No, people are walking by my street out there, and I see they're still masked. I thought they would give this up by now.
No.
No, but they're wearing their masks. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. And, you know, we just have to have a little patience. What happened to patience? I think that's gone by the wayside.
Oh, I think so. That was a highly valued trait for years, but not anymore. No.
People want it done now, not tomorrow, not even a little later today, right now. It has to be done now.
It's cool. You bet. Right.
Right. So when you joined Happy Days, did you have your character in mind or did it evolve as you went along?
Oh, no. She's just a nice person. She was just like me, but very, they would come to me and they would say to me, "You love him." They were talking about Tom Bosley. They were talking about Tom Bosley. Uh-huh. And I was newly divorced. And I thought, geez, if I get divorced and I got to be married, got to marry Tom Bosley. But that's called acting. It's called acting.
Exactly.
And of course we ran 10 years. So around the fifth year, we were pretty good friends there.
I bet. So 11 years, but it developed. It evolved. I mean, all the characters evolved. What drives me crazy today, and I want to get your read on this, Marion, they'll give a series like two times on the air, and if they don't get the numbers, they're gone. I mean, you can't develop characters and develop the chemistry between people in two times on the air.
No, you can't. No, because the writers have got to write to you,
mm-hmm.
and no, it's amazing. We've started in the mid-season, so that helped. And also, Gary Marshall, he is so smart. He had us all playing softball.
Oh, really?
And I'm a pretty good athlete, so I played a rover. Like, it's like, get over, Marion, get over there. But I could hit. So then what I would do is I would run with both of my arms up as high as I could reach. So they don't want to hit that fine old lady, right? they're gonna overthrow first base, and I could get on, and then the boys could bring me in. See?
You little stinker! You use psychology on them, is what you did.
You bet.
That's okay.
I loved that we had this team. And sometimes my neighbors would come by and I'd say, "No, it's Saturday. Because I got to go to ball practice.
That's amazing. Now you grew up in Minnesota, though, right?
Oh, I did indeed.
And
even though I'm Scotch Irish, I'm not Scandinavian. But my mother was a Canadian. And my father was from South Dakota.
Oh, my.
You know?
What a mix. that's a difference. But that's I'm from originally from in the Chicago area. So we're all in
that same. You know about winter.
Mm-hmm.
Fierce.
That's why I got out 30 years ago. I said, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. Last time, you'll love this. I was doing my television show at the time. This is 1977, I guess it was. And you know how it used to be cold, and then it would rain, and then the temperature would drop, and then it would be a sheet of ice.
And, absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
And I got out of the apartment complex, because we had a little hill going out of the apartment complex onto the highway, and I had to fishtail the car to get out of the driveway, and I got on the highway, and I saw this big old truck coming up behind me, I mean, a big semi, and I thought, all I said was, "Dear God, don't let me get hit by this semi truck, and I ain't doing this again. This is it. I'm done." But
and you lived through it.
Yes,
right,
and
right.
I moved after that. The next year, that was it. Came out to California. My dad was from Los Angeles. He used to work for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Really?
He was a furrier.
Really?
He used to make coats for Betty Davis and Joan Crawford.
Oh.
No.
Oh, God, how did we love our fur coats?
I know.
We don't have that anymore.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I still have a couple of coats, and I can't get rid of them because they were from my dad, you know?
No, you keep them, darling, because any day now this is going to come back.
It'll come back again. I know. And people say, oh, you can't wear. You're almost afraid to wear them now, you know? They'll spray paint you.
I remember that I had a beautiful black mink.
Ooh.
A big coat, down to me. And So, all right, and it has a black fur collar. Mm-hmm. The collar was, oh, it's another fur, black. Anyway, I'm wearing this big event, and the fans are screaming at me, and I thought they were screaming that they loved me. No, they were screaming. They were screaming about my coat.
Oh, my gosh.
They didn't like it. And I thought, oh, gosh. So you know what? I gave the coat away.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
And it had cost me maybe $10,000, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I gave it away because I couldn't wear it ever again.
It was a different time. People don't realize that. You know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it was a different time.
They didn't realize that those minks were raised on purpose.
No.
No more than the cows we eat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Well.
Times they are a change in Marianne, whether we like it or not.
I know.
Oh, I'll tell you, kid, she is such a delight. Was I not right on the air, off the air, same person? That's her personality. She just is so bubbly.
Yes, she is. That interview was, she is now, what, 94, 96?
96.
96, because of the COVID references. So I was trying to trying to remember.
It was about 2021 when I talked to her.
Yeah. She sounds like she's 40, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But she's not really doing interviews, you know, on air too much anymore. I think, you know, she's getting up there. She'll mention something about that in the next segment. But so many things. Did you know that she actually changed her name? It was Marion, M-A-R-I-A-N, and she changed it to M-A-R-I-O-N because she wanted to be different, so that people would, you know, notice her better. She did things like that. I mean, they did back then. And she did so many series, Ken. She did, I mean, this is way back. Lone Ranger, Hawaii 5-0, Death Valley Days, Outer Limits, The Donna Reed Show, George Burns and Gracie Allen. I mean, all these she did.
Yeah.
And a whole lot more. And, of course, during the pandemic, I don't know. She just had such a personality that you had to love her no matter what, don't you think?
Yes. And what's great about these interviews is we get to hear them when they really are lively and, you know, are really here with us. And that's the memory we want to have, is that, you know. So as they're getting older, they're having problems, but good memories.
Good memories have to stay with us, absolutely. But you know me, I always like to get other people's perspective to see if what I believe about someone is the same as they did. So I had a different perspective. I had a friend, she is now a friend, psychic and medium, Joyce Keller. She's internationally known and renowned. I've had her so many times on my show. But she had a delightful meeting with Marion Ross, and she remembers her fondly. Okay. So you met a delightful person by the name of Marion Ross. What was your impression of person to person about her?
Oh, it's a totally memorable experience, Mary Jane. Not only were we in a beautiful setting of Marina Del Rey, California, but she was totally charming and warm and loving. A lovely, lovely lady, and those are great experiences of my life in the media. I was happy to meet her. She was very, very gracious, and I realized that she had such a history that had built such respect. She was known, I believe, as Marion's mom. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. During, I think it was Happy Days. She was America's favorite TV mom, also.
Absolutely.
And then I believe she wrote a book, which I read a few years ago. And if anyone has not read it, they absolutely have to. It's called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. And it's so deeply touching. I was crying when I read it. It's just so honest. It's a beautiful book, and it's a memorable experience.
Now, when you met her, that was person to person. And it's sort of like when I did the interview with her, it's person to person. But you have more of an ability as a psychic. Psychically, what was your impression?
both psychically. Oh, well, thank you for saying that. Well, she's a scorpion. She's born October 25th. So she's super, super sensitive. And I understand that she's a show called Outer Limits, which was really way out there. Which is what I think she called me, really, quite honestly. So I appreciated the fact that she was so mystical and she had such an open mind. I love that about her. So we hugged, we kissed, it was great. And I really appreciated who she was. Very, very good to me. Very kind.
Now, I realize that that was a while back. So, but did you do a reading for her? But you probably don't remember what the reading was, but did you do a reading for her?
Yes. I always do readings for anyone that I meet. And I, as you said, I don't remember the reading. Not because I have memory loss, but because none of the readings do not belong to me. They come from, I want to believe, God or the cosmos, and they go through me, and they're gone. So I did do a reading for her, and I did say that she was extremely sensitive, that I remember, and very, very wise. She has a very old soul, and she's very highly evolved, lovely lady, and I was happy to meet her. And she was happy that I remembered the Outer Limits. She was very proud of that.
Yeah.
Happy days. And she's also on the files, I believe, which I did not see, but I remember she told me about that. So she has quite a history of being in the entertainment world.
And, you know, she still had that, I don't know, there was a charisma about her and a sincerity. I mean, when you talk to her, it's not like you were talking, you know, to a person on an interview. It was like real person that really cared about letting you know about her. Did you feel that too?
Absolutely. If I had to use one word to describe her, I would say, what's the best word, Mary Jane, for someone who's very lovely and protective and, you know, very caring? I would say she's more caring than anything else. Very, very loving and open and sweet. Lovely lady.
Yeah, and doesn't take advantage of people. She wants to share and help people.
Right. But she was genuinely perfect for the role in Happy Days and My Favorite Mom. All the words that are applicable are truly correct because she was very gracious. Really a lovely person as well.
Her voice had a smile in it all the time.
Yes, absolutely. And she was smiling when I met her. And the sun was shining. And then at Marina Del Rey, where she did the show for quite a while, apparently. So I was there with her. We sat outside at a lovely little table. It was all very nice. And we had a beautiful lunch while they were taping the show. So I find that to be an outstanding memory.
I tell you, I just love getting perspectives of other people. Because, you know, my impressions, Ken, just like you, everybody's a little different. But I think everyone that I've spoken to about Marion Ross have the same thing. She is loving everything that comes from her heart. She's sincere. She's open about anything. I mean, there were no restrictions to the interviews, which I love. Sometimes they'll say, well, don't talk about this. Or don't. Mm-mm, not with her. It was like wide open. And, you know, that just made me feel so comfortable, like I'm talking to a friend.
Well, it comes across that way. Where did you interview her?
Well, it was on the air. It was by phone.
Okay.
Yeah, it was by phone. And that's the other thing. A lot of times when you interview people on the phone, it's not the same as eyeball to eyeball. But with her, it didn't make any difference. It just didn't. A lovely, lovely person. So I also thought, well, you know, there are so many changes in her life. And I told her that there was more to come because she had a lot of years left, even though she was 91 and a half. But you know what? She did not agree with me. And I mean, you've got good years ahead of you.
No, I don't. I don't, sweetheart. Because one of the last shows I did, what I said, it was a very simple show. And I said to the children, what is that line?
Aww.
And they said, well, it's very simple. I said, I know, but I forgot it. What is it? What is it? So I said to them, you know, children, I don't think I can do this anymore.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I'm right behind you. I'm 73. you know?
Oh, and that's pretty young in my book.
Oh, okay. So, but if you could pick out a project, maybe just to be involved with the project, what would that be? You still love stage?
I never even think that way about a project, or isn't that something? So you'll have to ask me something else.
Like,
because I don't think about that. And thank God I don't. I don't miss it. I did it.
That's good.
You know, I did it.
That's good. Now, do you have any hobbies?
No, not really. But my house is called Happy Days Farm.
Oh.
Okay. And I got 2 acres.
Uh-huh.
So I got to keep all of this going, you know, and tweak this and fix this and let's remodel this and let's tear this out and all of that kind of stuff. That's what I like.
That's good. Do you have any pets?
Not anymore. Oh. Not right now.
Oh, okay.
Because we lost our last little dog, and then that was it. That was the end of that.
Yeah.
But I've had lots of dogs and things. But you know, you know about my son. My son is a wonderful actor. Jim
Meskimen. He's great. Yeah.
My daughter Ellen Kramer was a writer on Friends, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's creating a new show.
Oh, really?
And it's all about cowboys and a bunch of old cowboys. So and apparently they're in this school, you know. So but right now they have to stop. But she's still writing. You know?
I'll be done.
Writing all the scripts. Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah, I'm going to have her on the show and talk about the you know, when everything settles down, it's going to come back again. So.
Right, yeah.
Nice. Oh, well, you know what? Both of your kids followed kind of in your footsteps. I mean, Jim, obviously, because he's an actor, et cetera. Ellen is a writer, et cetera. Was that okay with you?
Yes, it didn't bother me because, first of all, they saw how hard it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that most of the time I would scream at them, you know, because I was under a lot of pressure.
Sure.
I said, no, we can't buy that. You can't have that. We don't have that much money.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So they saw that it was tough,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's good.
And it's still tough. It's still tough.
Oh my God. Yes. Because now more and more and more people are going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah. You try and tell young people, and I do that even with my side of the business, with radio and television, because I was kind of an actress and did a lot of musical comedy because I sang. I was an opera major. And so I always tell them, you've got to have a thick skin. And if you don't have a thick skin, don't go into it because it will hurt you.
And
you know, you got to not blame yourself because, I mean, how many times did you go to an audition or whatever? And I know how I used to feel. It would hurt when they would say no, but it didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe you didn't have the right hair color or, you know, it had nothing to do with your talent.
No. You know, what happened was that in college, I did all the plays. San Diego, it was then called San Diego State. Now it's San Diego State University, San Diego. But so I did all the lead plays, and I was going to be this hotshot. and then I ran off and eloped, and I got married.
Oh,
you know?
How old were you?
21.
Oh, that's young. 20. Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. No, we don't. So it was interesting. So right away, this woman at the college took me on the train to Hollywood. Because since I had run off and gotten married. So this woman, Rosa Chaplin, she taught Spanish. She wasn't even my teacher. And she just did everything she could to help me. Isn't that interesting? So by the time I was 23, I was under contract to Paramount.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
Wow. But it was meant to be. Don't you believe that? You know, if you're supposed to do something, it will happen.
Well, there was always somebody helping me. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's because it was meant to be. It's called, they call it synergy.
Yeah.
It's synergy.
Uh-huh.
You're the right place, the right time, or the right person comes along and helps you along the way. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you have to just believe that whatever will be, will be.
I know, but that's painful because in many cases, it's a sad story.
Yeah, it is. So many young people go to Hollywood thinking they're going to make it big and then land up on the streets. It's terrible. It really is.
I had many dips and downs when I went through all that too. So when Happy Days came along, I was 50. So that's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean 50. Now you're going to start a new big career when you're 50 years old? That's pretty good.
But you were wonderful.
Well, so was everybody. You know, it's not. There's an awful lot of talent out there.
There was a chemistry on that show.
Very much so.
Yeah, gelled.
Henry was a tremendous friend to me.
Yeah.
Tremendous. He still is.
Aww.
And so is Ron. But Ron's a busy guy.
Yeah.
Half the time, I think he lives in Europe, you know,
yeah.
New York, Europe, who knows.
But Henry, and they all went on doing things. Most everybody did, obviously. But a couple of people are not with us anymore.
Our little Aaron.
Yeah.
Our little Aaron. That to me was a big tragedy.
Yes.
You know? But Anson Williams is a wonderful guy. Donnie Moe's wonderful, wonderful guys. You know?
Yeah. And they're still fun. I've had them on my show. And they're just terrific. What happened with Erin? I mean, everybody else kind of kept going and doing things, et cetera. And she just fell into, I don't know, what, drugs and alcohol?
I think so. All of that. So all of that did not work out for her.
No.
So it was tragic. And she's gone now.
Yeah.
She's absolutely gone.
Yeah.
So I think at about 55, she was gone.
Amazing.
So now Scott Baio lives down here around the corner from me.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
So
everybody from that series is, you know, made for the most part made success, but also were just nice people.
Oh yes, yes, we were like a family,
yeah.
Really. Because Gary Marshall,
mm-hmm.
he ran it, and that's what he wanted, you know.
Oh, he was smart man.
I can remember early on. We're still doing it kind of live with a live audience out there. And he came to my dressing room and he said, "That isn't working for you, is it?"
said
like, and he said, I'll fix it.
Aww.
And he took the same speech, turned it inside out, changed the rhythm, and then it
worked.
Was mine.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So I thought, see, that's the kind of attitude. Rather than firing me,
yeah.
He'd say, "Let me see how I can fix that for you." You know,
I see that about what's happening in radio and television, like with talk shows and that type of thing. Instead of sitting down and saying, "Look, this is not working. We got to figure this out, and we'll do better," they just get rid of people and get more people in. Well, you don't build an audience. The reason you guys had such a wonderful audience is it built. They were part of your family. They felt like they were part of your family every time they tuned in.
Oh, absolutely. And they came to every one of our softball games.
Oh.
When you realize that we played every major field in this city, I mean, in the United States.
Wow.
Every United States. And Gary would say, "Get out there, meet the people. Meet the people." We would meet hundreds of people.
You must be so proud that they form the Marion Ross Performing Arts Center in your hometown?
Oh, they did. They did.
How cool.
It's wonderful. Now they're making a statue for me. And I said, "Well, could I be sitting on the bench?" and with my arm up along the back here, and then somebody can come and sit with me and have a picture taken. Yeah.
What a great idea. That's a great idea.
So that is already half May,
uh-huh.
But now since we're having our catastrophe right now.
Yeah.
So they'll finish that.
Yeah. And you'll go.
I want you to come. Won't you come and sit with me then and have your picture taken? Okay?
Done deal. Do you have a philosophy of life? Because obviously you have such a good attitude. And I think attitude means so much. You have a smile in your voice. And you're, you know, at 91 and a half, I'm saying it carefully. it's inspiring. You are inspiring.
Well, I'm very well. I'm a very well person. I'm very healthy, and that makes such a difference. And I've always been strong. My brother, who was only like a year and a half younger than me, was a crippled boy. And so it was very important. Marion, here, my dad would say, here, come on, here, pick this up. Carry the other side of this thing for me, won't you? Okay, Dad, sure.
Yeah.
So I, you know, and my sister was older, and she was lovely, and she was thinner and lovely. But I was, come on, Marion, come here, pick that up, lift that up for me. Okay, Dad, sure, I will.
I love it. So what is your philosophy of life? Do you have a philosophy of life?
Well, I am a Christian. I'm an Episcopalian,
mm-hmm.
So was raised in the church. So I think it has a great deal to do with everything that I believe in, and I'm just a naturally positive. I'm very positive.
Yeah.
I'm not negative.
Good.
So it's like, okay, let's see how I can make this work for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, okay, this is not so good here. Now, my mother, I think my mother kind of, she would say to me, why don't you make friends with that little girl there?
Aww.
You know,
but
down there, I hated that little girl. I didn't like her at all. But, you know, but my mother, I could understand what my mother's teaching me.
Good.
Because she said, why don't you make friends with her? Because her mother has given this and this and this, and with her comes a bunch of other things. So so it's a very bad streak in you because it's kind of manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an honest bone in my body.
Okay. Well, it's better than my mom. My mom was so negative. Everything, you know, if we went on a cruise, oh my God, the ship is going to sink. Or you're flying someplace, oh my God, the plane's going to crash. I'm going, Mom, stop it. You know, let's be a little more positive about life. My dad was the opposite, thank God.
Yeah.
So
no, you can really turn life around and make it work for you and for everybody.
Absolutely.
And what I find is that by me being nice to people, that they are very nice to me.
You betcha. Now, the book, My Days, Happy and Otherwise, it's available, I assume, at all the different venues. Yeah?
I guess you could go in it. If they don't have it, you could ask for it, and they'll get it for you.
Okay. Or, you know, go Amazon, all those kinds of things, too,
yes,
I imagine.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Marianne, this has been such a pleasure. All I can say is, please, can I have you back again so we can continue this great conversation?
All right. We'll give it a whirl.
Okay.
I had a wonderful time, darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. You are an inspiration. Please keep up that wonderful attitude. We certainly need it this time.
Okay, doll.
God bless.
Hang in there. Bye-bye.
Take care. Marianne Ross, happy days, Mrs. C. Wrote a book called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. Fabulous, fabulous lady. I am such a fan of this lady. Why? Because she has that wonderful joie de vivre. And I think we all need that, don't you think, Ken?
I don't even know what that word means, Mary Jane.
That means a joy of life. Joy of life, you know. And she mentioned Jim Meskimen, you know, her son. He does incredible voices. I've had him on several times on my show. I'm going to have to, you know, dig out some things on him because he almost kind of mimics what Rich Little used to do. You know, we've talked about Rich Little before, and he's also a good actor, good voiceover and all that. But I have to pull some of that information because the talent, I guess, runs in the family.
He does a great Robert De Niro.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. He's the guy they call on when they want to do Robert De Niro on TV.
Oh, did you know that Happy Days actually had a lawsuit at one time? You know, you would think it's always good stuff and everything. In April of 2011, Marion learned that a Happy Days-themed casino machine that used her image. And in response, she, Aaron, Don Anson, and the estate of Tom Bosley filed a $10 million lawsuit against Paramount, claiming they had not been paid for merchandising the revenue that they made. So in July of 2012, the lawsuit actually was settled, and each actor received a payment of $65,000, and CBS promised to honor the names of their contract and the terms of their contract. So I didn't know that until I did a little research. I thought, oh, I didn't know Happy Days had a lawsuit. Always something.
You know, I like that she named her farm Happy Days Ranch, or what's it called?
Mm-hmm. Well, she always had that attitude. You know, it was a good life for her.
Yeah. We should all live a happy day every day.
I love it. I love it. And with that, that's it for this edition of Pop Star Talk with the iconic Marion Ross. And we mentioned earlier, she's now 96 years old. Not really doing on-air interviews, but we will always remember her loving and caring ways. And of course, Mrs. C on Happy Days and the many talented characters that she portrayed. And thanks to you, Ken, for sharing your reminiscences, and Greg for his care in the presentation. Please do come back to Pop Star Talk for another walk back in time with many star interviews that I was privileged to do over the many years on TV and radio. Call some of them friends, yes. I'm Mary Jane Pop, and we'll have to share the saying that I always close with. Till we meet again, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and always dare to dream.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.